series of Bible studies from the Old Testament, looking at some of the classic stories of the Old Testament and learning the lessons about the goodness and faithfulness of God as a result of all of these things. We want to do this again this morning, and one of the classic stories from the Old Testament that all of us have heard all of our lives, and we all know the story, is the story of Jonah and the whale. And so this morning we want to take a look at the book of Jonah in your Old Testament. If you'll turn over there with me to Jonah, it's just four short chapters. We won't read the entire thing. We'll look at a great deal of it, but we'll tell you the story of Jonah, and we'll learn some things, some life lessons from this book for us this morning. In fact, before we even go any further, let's just ask the Lord's favor on our time together this morning, all right? Let's pray together. Father, we bless and praise your name today. We thank you that you've called us together this morning. You've called us to be your people, and you've called us to this place that we might fellowship with one another and fellowship with your Holy Spirit. We trust in these moments, Lord, that the Spirit of the living God would open the eyes of our understanding, that you would teach us, Holy Spirit, the glory of the Son of God and the beauty of our Heavenly Father. You would show us the true nature that we as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ should walk in that would glorify our God and King. Thank you for this morning, Father. Thank you for all that are here. I pray for every soul in our little church this morning, God, that every heart and every life would be touched. Each person would be drawn closer to you as a result of our time together here this morning. I thank you for the difference that's going to make in all of our lives today, tomorrow, and forever, because of your presence dwelling mightily within us by the Spirit of God. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. So who could ever possibly forget the story of Jonah and the whale? Now, your Bible may say a great fish. That's fine. Whatever your Bible calls it, it was a sea monster of some sort that was able to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was able to survive inside the belly of that sea monster, that fish, that whale, whatever it was, and live to tell about it. And that's usually what we remember from the book of Jonah, that Jonah was swallowed by a fish, survived, and horked up a little while later and landed on a beach and survived to tell his tale of what he had gone through. But this morning, we want to take a look at the real meaning of what this book is all about, because there's a lesson throughout this little four-chapter book that is a lesson for all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the theme is simply this. The theme of this entire little letter, this little book, is the mercy of God. And God is going to show us his mercy. God is going to teach us what that mercy looks like. And the reason for doing that is because God wants every one of us to walk in the same mercy that he has given to us. The Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. And because we have freely received of the mercy of the Lord, we should freely give it to all who need it as we needed it when we received it from God ourselves. And so let's just start with a couple of verses in Jonah chapter 1, and we'll just tell the story and see the picture. Because what we're going to see when we look at the life of Jonah, we're going to see a person who is experiencing mercy, but one who himself is not very merciful. And so what God is doing is God is in this story, he's putting Jonah in a place where Jonah can see his own heart. Okay? And that's what God wants us to do this morning as we look at this story. God wants us to look at this story and judge our own hearts to see where we stand, where being merciful is concerned. So let's look at Jonah chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, and we'll start here. In fact, I may read. Well, let's just. Jonah 1 and 1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship that was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's just stop right there as we introduce this morning and see what Jonah is up to so far in this story. The story timeline is roughly 800 years before Christ. Israel is still Israel at this point. They've not yet been taken fully into captivity as they will be. Jonah is a good Jewish boy, Jewish prophet, and God calls him to go to the city of Nineveh. Now, the city of Nineveh, you may or may not know where it is. You've probably heard of this city, though, in recent news events, probably not too long ago. And you remember hearing about the city in Iraq known as Mosul? The remnants of Nineveh are directly across the river from Mosul in Iraq. And here's the point. The Ninevites were not Jewish people. They're Babylonians, okay? And yet, God wants to send the prophet to the Babylonians to warn them of impending judgment that was coming to them unless they would repent. Now, I don't know about you. There's so much in this story to share. The first thing that I get out of this passage of Scripture, out of what we read so far, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. A lot of times when we read the Bible and we see God dealing with the nation of Israel and God judging all the nations around Israel, and we forget that God loves all of those other nations as well. And God loves the nation of Babylon. And he wants these people to repent and turn their hearts to him. And so he sends the prophet to Babylon to warn them of impending judgment that's going to come if they don't repent of their sins. In fact, let me just show you. Turn over to the fourth chapter real quickly in the first couple of verses there. God so loves the world. God is merciful to the whole world. The God of the Old Testament, you know, sometimes, maybe you're like me, sometimes when I read the Old Testament, I look at the God of the Old Testament as a mean and angry God. A wrathful and vengeful God for all of the judgments that come on the nations in those days. And then I look at the New Testament and I see Jesus and I see love and mercy and compassion and all these kinds of things. And I almost get a picture of two different. The truth of the matter is when we study the Old Testament out in detail, we find that the God of the Old Testament is also merciful and compassionate and loving and kind. Jesus is God in the flesh. And so the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are the same God. And we understand a lot of times, or I don't anyway, that when I read the Old Testament, I forget that God has been dealing with those nations that he's pronounced judgment upon. He's been dealing with those nations for centuries, many of them, before the time finally ran out for them and they needed to be judged because of their heart and the wickedness that was there. But what I want you to see from Jonah chapter 4 is this. The Bible says that when God spoke to Jonah to go to Nineveh, which is in the east, that Jonah actually turned and ran as fast as he could to the west, to the coast, to get on a ship and head out of there to the far reaches of Europe. Jonah is literally running from the presence of God. He doesn't want to do what God has called him to do, which is to warn the people of Nineveh. And here we see something a little bit about the heart of Jonah, okay? Jonah wants God to judge the Ninevites. Jonah doesn't want to warn those people. He wants them to get what they deserve. Now, I'm not going to ask your hands, but how many of us have ever wanted for people to get what they deserve? Isn't that human nature? We all do that, don't we? God is so much more merciful, so much more gracious, loving, kind, and compassionate. In fact, it's because that Jonah knows how merciful God is, he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. Look at it with me in the fourth chapter and let's just read verses 1 and 2. Because what happens is the people of Nineveh are going to repent and God's going to relent. God's not going to judge them. He's going to show them mercy.
And Jonah gets mad. Okay. And it says in verse 2 of Jonah chapter 4, he prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew you. You're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." Jonah said, "God, I knew you were too good, too loving, too kind, too merciful, too compassionate to judge these people, and it's why I didn't want to waste my time going over there in the first place. I knew if I went, you weren't going to do anything, and it would just be a wasted trip for me." And that was his excuse for not obeying the Lord. And so the Bible says back over in the first chapter that Jonah, instead of going east to the city of Nineveh, Jonah goes west. He goes to the coast. He finds a ship setting sail across the Mediterranean, and he wants to run and get as far away from God as he possibly can. He gets into the boat, and in the next couple of verses in the first chapter there, it tells us the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah had gone below in the hold of the ship and laid down, fallen asleep. I want you to notice, too, by the way, the number of times the word "down" is used of Jonah. He goes down to Joppa. He goes down to the ship. He goes down to the hold of the ship. Jonah's life, listen, when Jonah turns to run from God, his life goes down, down, down. Okay? It's a picture of the fall of man and the separation that we create where God is concerned when we turn to run from the Lord. And so, He runs from the presence of the Lord, trying to escape the presence of the Lord because he doesn't want to do what God has called him to do. He knows that God, I'll get it in a minute, he knows that God is a merciful God. And the truth of the matter is, God is a merciful God. And God takes no delight when he has to bring judgment against people. I think sometimes we think about God as sitting up in heaven and just looking for opportunities, you know? He gets up this morning and pulls out his date book and he says, "Who can we judge today?" But that's not our God. Our God is a compassionate God, a forgiving God, a gracious God. And you know, God always has a plan. God always has a plan to demonstrate his mercy to us. Before I get into that, let me just share this point with you. Notice how Jonah's offense, how Jonah's sins brought trouble to everybody that was around him. Now, all the people that are on the ship, they recognize that this storm, there's something unique about this storm. This is a killer storm. It's about to break their boat up. And so they realize something unique is going on. It looks everything in the world like judgment. Let's pray to our gods, find out who the culprit is, find out who the sinner is, so that we can deal with this thing and stop this judgment from coming. The Bible says they cast lots and it fell to Jonah. They go down and they find Jonah, and Jonah confesses that he is running from God. But notice again how Jonah's sins have caused consequences for everybody around him. It's a spiritual truth that you and I must understand. None of us live isolated from the world. No man, there's the old saying, no man is an island. We're all connected, and our sins and our failures affect the people that are around us. But Jonah doesn't want to go because he knows that God is merciful. And God always has a plan. God had a plan for this city to save them rather than to show judgment to them and to show mercy to them. God had a plan for Jonah. Thank you, dear. God had a plan for Jonah, to show Jonah mercy when Jonah had sinned. Listen, years before Jonah ever rebelled and ran from God, God had begun to prepare a fish, a whale. Whatever it was born ahead of time so that when the time came, he was out there to catch old Jonah. See, God had a plan. It was already set. Already in motion.
That little fish, just swimming in the Mediterranean, waiting for his day to fulfill his call from God and have a kosher meal. And God had a plan. God always has a plan, guys. Listen, what you're going through today, the difficulties you're going through today, these things don't catch God by surprise. And God already has a plan set in motion, okay? God has a rescue. God has a plan set in motion. Whatever you're going through, listen, the Bible says this. The Bible says that God had a plan before he ever created creation. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. That verse just, it amazes me. It blesses me so much to know that before God had ever created anything or anyone, before man had ever sinned and had ever fallen, God, in his tender mercy for humanity that he was going to create, had already established a plan to save that man that was going to fall. The Bible says that Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God is a merciful God. God is a loving God, and he's a good God. When we look into Jonah's heart, we see a lot of ugliness there. We see a lot of hate. We see a lot of judgment. We see a lot of evil there. And God is wanting to show Jonah his heart so that he can deal with the issues that are there. How many of you understand today that when God calls us to do things, God's not just calling us to do those things because those are things that need to get done. God is calling us to do things because he wants to show us our heart. Let me show you. When God says, give, it's not just that there's a need that needs to be met, but there's a heart that needs to be revealed. When God speaks to you and says, give, you have an opportunity now to see your own heart. Am I going to give and trust God to give back to me? Or am I going to believe that I can't make it if I give because God won't be faithful to me? So when God says, give, we have an opportunity to say, or when God says, forgive, when God says, be merciful, release these people from their offense, let go of what you're holding on to, forgive. When God tells us to do that, it's an opportunity for us to see our own heart. If we can do it, we can see that the mercy of God is there. But if in our heart we can't forgive, then we can see that blackness too, can't we? We can see that stain on our heart too. That there's sin in our heart. There's sin in our life that needs to be dealt with. And this is what God is wanting to do where Jonah is concerned. He's wanting to show Jonah's heart so Jonah can get his heart right with God. These sailors show mercy to Jonah. As you read down through that first chapter, you find that these guys come to Jonah and they say, looks like you're the one who is the problem here. And Jonah says, you're right. I'm the bad guy. If you'll just toss me in the water, everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. Just throw me overboard and everything will be all right. And you know what those sailors did? Those sailors began to look for another way to solve the problem. They showed Jonah mercy. They didn't want to throw him in a drink. They wanted to show this man mercy. When it came down to it, they had no option but to throw Jonah overboard. But God had already prepared that fish, whale, monster, whatever it is you want to call it. He had already prepared that fish to rescue Jonah from the judgment of that ocean. When you get into the second chapter of Jonah's little book there, you see Jonah's heart as it begins to turn to the Lord. And in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the trial that he's going through, he turns his heart to God. He begins to pray to God. And he actually begins to worship the Lord. He's praising and worshiping the Lord as he's praying to God. And he's confessing his deliverance and his salvation from his present crisis. That too is a picture for you and me. And it's a picture how we ought to always pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That's one thing we need to learn from Jonah. And by the way, just because you haven't been praying doesn't mean there's no need to start. If you're in trouble, turn to the Lord and pray and seek God. And sometimes the best prayer you can ever pray is, help. Help me, God. How many of you understand that the prayer is not about eloquence? It's about sincerity. And it's about faith. Okay? And Jonah turns his heart and begins to worship the Lord. And there's another truth in there. It says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And in the belly of that whale, and I'm just going to stick with whale because that's what we all know, all right? In the belly of that whale, he begins to give thanks to God. And when he does, God shows up. God shows up in power and in glory, glorifies himself, and rescues Jonah and sets him free. In everything, give thanks, the Bible tells us. You know, Jonah, here's another lesson. Thank you, Lord. Here's another lesson we can learn from Jonah today. Jonah was trying his best to run from the presence of God. Jonah was trying to get away from doing the will of God. But then when the time came, hear it, listen to me, he was grateful that he could not escape the presence of God. David says in Psalm 139, he says, where can I go from your spirit? If I go to the highest heights, if I go to the deepest depths, God, you are still there. No matter where I go, I can't get away from your presence. And I want to tell you something. I don't care how disinterested you may be today in the things of God. I don't care how little you care about the things of God today. The time will come in your life when you will need God. And when it does, you will be grateful that God would not let you escape his presence. That God is right there. And in the belly of that whale, Jonah cries out to God. And God shows up. Man, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. You can't get away from our God. He loves you too much to let you get away. And there he is. In the belly of that whale, worshiping the Lord. And then he swims on up to the coast and out he goes. I get a picture of him just cartwheeling through the air. Ah, and he lands on the guy. Boom. Whew, what a ride. And God delivers this man in glory and power. And listen, here's another lesson from the book of Jonah. Chapter 3. Chapter 3 begins this way. The word of the Lord, or the voice of the Lord, came to Jonah a second time. Please hear it. We use the phrase that God is the God of a second chance. Even when we blow it the first time, God is, and in his mercy, willing to forgive, willing to cleanse, willing to heal, and willing to give us the second chance. God doesn't quit on us. God doesn't just toss us aside first time we make a mistake. Rather, he desires to meet us at the place of mercy and to forgive us and to cleanse us and to give us a fresh start. Just read the characters in the Bible. You see it in all of their lives. They were all human beings. They all failed God. And yet with every one of them, God just gave them another chance. You look at Moses. God calls Moses to deliver the nation of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And he murders an Egyptian. Runs and hides in the desert. He's out there for 40 years. And after 40 years, God calls him again. And says, now it's time to go back. I'm giving you another chance to set my people free. To let my people go. David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. And yet the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, who, when he failed, when he sinned, cried out to God and said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. And God forgave him, cleaned him up, sent him back to the kingdom to continue to rule over the house of Israel. What about Peter? Peter just flat out denied knowing the Lord or caring anything about the Lord. After swearing he would stand up for the Lord. Here we go again. God gives Peter an opportunity to see his own heart. And Peter has to deal with the fact that his heart's not what he thought it was. His faith isn't what he thought it was. He swore and declared if everybody else left Jesus, he never would. And on that very night, three times, he denies even knowing the man. But after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he meets with Peter. Three times he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter confesses his love for the Lord. And Jesus restores him to his place of apostolic authority and headship in the church. Mark. Mark is a beautiful story of forgiveness and a second chance in the Bible. Mark, the writer of the gospel, was probably a cousin to Peter. He traveled with Paul on his first missionary journey. And as they got started into the journey, the going got rough. Things got hard. They went into a land that was known to be a place where thieves and robbers would likely overtake you. And when they got into this rough territory, Mark said, I've had enough, guys. I'm going back to Jerusalem. And he quit. He quit on the Apostle Paul. Paul didn't take it well either. Because when he started to go on a second missionary journey, his partner said, Barnabas said, let's take Mark with us again. And Paul says, I don't want anything to do with him. He quit on me the last time. I'm done with him. And Paul went one direction, and Barnabas and Mark went a different direction. But God gave Mark the second chance. And eventually he even restored the relationship between Mark and Paul. You read about it at the end of 2 Timothy. It's the last letter Paul ever wrote. And he talks about how useful Mark has become to him. Because God has given Mark a second chance. God is going to give Jonah a second chance in our story here today. Because God doesn't just throw us away when we fail. God doesn't quit on us even when we turn our back on God. God is more loving, compassionate, and merciful than that. And so God is trying to show Jonah what his heart is really like. The irony, the great irony of the story is that for all of the mercy Jonah is shown, Jonah never shows any mercy. He gets his second chance in the third chapter to go to Babylon and to warn the people of the judgment that will come unless they repent. You know what he does? He actually goes to Babylon this time. He goes to Nineveh this time. But you know what he does? He walks the streets of Nineveh and never offers them repentance. For 40 days, he walks the streets and says, this place is about to burn. Now, the message of the prophets in the Bible is always, turn or burn. But for Jonah, it was, your days are numbered, and this place is about to be destroyed. And then he went out of town and set out of town and looked back at the town to wait to see what God was going to do. The Bible tells us that the people of Nineveh, in their own hearts, turned and repented of their sins and turned to worship God. These pagan people turned to worship the God of Israel. And did you know that secular history actually records that roughly this time period in the history of this city, of this region of the world, that this region experienced great prosperity? They've turned to God. They've repented of their sins. Jonah didn't even ask him to. And when God relented of the judgment that he had pronounced upon these people, Jonah got mad at God. God, this is why I didn't want to go in the first place. I knew if I told him what you were going to do, you wouldn't do it. I wonder if Jonah wasn't afraid that he was looking the fool. And God in the fourth chapter finally has to set Jonah aside and show Jonah one more object lesson
where the lifestyle of mercy is concerned. And it's all about a plant. And God tells Jonah, you wanted me to have mercy on that plant. Why is it you don't want me to have mercy on the people of Nineveh? Just as surely as I have shown mercy to you, so too I have shown mercy to the people of Nineveh. Brother and sister, this is my message for you this morning. This is the true nature of our God. He is a loving God, a compassionate God, a kind God, and a merciful God. And God has shown us mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy, grace is defined as unmerited favor, as God giving you things that you don't deserve. Mercy is sort of the flip side of that coin. Mercy is God withholding from you what you do deserve. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that he showed for us by going to Calvary and dying in our place, God shows mercy to every one of us and everyone who will call on the name of the Lord. For the judgment that you and I deserved, God placed it on Jesus. And he bore that penalty and that judgment for our sins so that we could go free and experience the mercy of God. But now listen, it's not enough for the Lord for us to just experience the mercy of God. The scripture says, freely you receive, freely give. Unlike Jonah, brothers and sisters, you and I are supposed to show mercy towards those who have offended us in any way, shape, or form. We are to forgive those who have brought offense against us. And in so doing, show ourselves to truly be sons and daughters of God. Because it's only by the grace of the Lord, it's only by the Spirit of God that we can show the mercy of God to others that he has shown to us. And in so doing, prove ourselves to be sons and daughters of God. God has called Jonah to show the mercy that he himself had received. And God calls us to do no less. Let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge this morning that you are a great and merciful God. And we have been the recipients of that mercy. And though our hearts don't fully grasp and understand what it is we've been delivered from, we know that you have withheld judgment from us because of your great love for us and because you have placed that judgment on our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, your word says that you have forgiven us, and that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. And now, Father, your instructions to us is to go into all the world and declare this good message, this good news of forgiveness to the world. Father, grant us the grace to be messengers of good news. And help us, Father, that we might show the same mercy to those who have offended us as you have shown to us in spite of our offenses against you. Help us, Father, as we look at this story of Jonah today, to judge our hearts, even as you were trying to get Jonah to judge his heart. Help us, God, to judge our heart, to see if there's any wicked way in us today. If there's any root of bitterness springing up. If there's any judgmentalism that's dwelling there. If there's offense that's been taken and not released. If we're walking in unforgiveness. Help us, God. Help us by your Spirit to forgive as we've been forgiven, to love as we've been loved, and to show the mercy that we have been shown. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We thank you that you have shown us mercy through the Lord Jesus, and that our sins have been forgiven, and that by faith in your Son Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. I feel impressed of the Lord this morning to go a little further. We don't often do this at this church. We don't often give specific invitations on Sunday morning because we're not looking for an emotional response, and we realize that just coming to the front of a church and praying a prayer is not in and of itself going to save you. That salvation is a matter of the heart, and it's a matter of every individual, and it's a matter of your personal relationship with God. But you know, I've become aware recently of people who think because they have gone to the front of a church many years ago and said a prayer, that one thing has saved them forever, and doesn't matter how they live their life after that. And I'm just going to tell you this morning, this preacher doesn't subscribe to that theology. I think going to the front of a church and praying a prayer with a preacher is a good first start. But it's not the end all of salvation. The Bible teaches me that if we are really going to be saved, we need to give our lives to Jesus Christ. We need to surrender to Him. Give Him complete and total control. Make Him Lord of our lives. For the Bible tells me that we are not our own. We do not belong to ourselves, but we belong to God because we've been bought with a price and we are His. I was out walking last week, actually, out on Enterprise Drive, talking to the Lord, talking about these things. And I just made a decision that if anybody who attends Victory Christian Fellowship doesn't make it to heaven, it's not going to be my fault. I'm going to challenge you in every way I can to give your heart and your life to Jesus. Not just practice a religion, but surrender your life and let God have it all. The fruit of that will be transformation. The fruit of that will be change in your life. When you give your life to God, God will change it. He'll make you a new person. And I just want to ask you this morning, if you're here today and you've never really given your life, you may have gone through the ritual motions. You may have gone to the front of a church. You may have prayed with a preacher. You may have been baptized. You may have done something. But you never really gave your life to Jesus. I just want to ask you this morning, are you willing? Are you ready? Would you make the first step today? Going to the front of the church is just the first step. It's just the beginning. Would you be willing to make that first step if you never made it before? I want to ask you this morning, if you've never given your life to Jesus and you want to begin a journey with Jesus today, I'm going to ask you to stand and come to the front of the church this morning and stand here with me and allow me to pray with you for God to take over your life and be in control of everything about your life. Consider your ways, church. Consider your ways. Does your life belong to Jesus? Or are you still in control? Maybe you're here this morning and there have been times in the past when you've committed your life to Jesus, but you found from time to time that you've slipped away from walking with God and you don't walk with the Lord the way that you know you ought to.
You know, again, the Bible says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And every day, including this day, can be a new start for you. Let me ask you to go ahead and stand to your feet and stay in an attitude of prayer as we continue to minister this morning. Go ahead and stand to your feet, and let me just ask you this. If you know that you've walked away from the Lord, you've drifted away from God, you want to come back to God today, let me invite you to come to the front of the church with us this morning and stand and let us pray with you to come home to God, to begin a fresh walk and a fresh journey with the Lord today. And then also we want to pray for people this morning with sickness and disease. I know that there are a number in our choir that are not feeling well and battling with the crud that's going around, and we need everybody to be on board for the presentation tonight. And we just believe God wants you well anyway. And so can I ask you this morning, if we can pray for you, if we can minister to you personally along any of these lines this morning, would you just come to the front of the church and stand here and let us pray for you to receive the Lord, be reunited with the Lord, or be touched and healed by the Lord this morning if you're battling an illness of any kind. Would you come this morning and stand? And I'm going to pull this thing back, and you can come just stand right between me and that speaker there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Pray with me, church. Pray for these precious souls that in one way or the other need the touch of God in their life today for salvation, renewal, healing, whatever it is. But these precious people have made a step of faith by coming to the front of the church. They have demonstrated their faith in the Lord. And we simply want to pray with them, lay hands on them, ask God to have His way in their hearts and lives. Pray with me, would you please? Father, thank you for Rose and George and Debbie and Mel, and Barry and Nate, and my dear little sister down here on the end, for Julie. God bless these precious people today. They've come to the front of this church because in some way, shape, or form, they need you today. They need you in a special way, maybe a way that only you can provide. Father, I pray for each one of them in Jesus' name. Lord, as I lay my hands on them, I'm just going to believe that you're going to touch them as well. And you're going to bless them with what they need today. You know their heart and you know their need here today, Father. I pray for forgiveness of sin. I pray for a renewal of love. I pray for a restoration of a journey. I pray for the healing of a body. I pray for wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, and I ask you, Father, as only you can, to touch each one of these special, precious brothers and sisters in the Lord this day. And may the Spirit of the living God manifest the life of God, even in their mortal flesh. Make them whole. Make them strong. Make them new. And assure them, each one, of your love for them and your presence working mightily in their lives. As they surrender to you today, Father, may your life be manifest in each of them, for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. Why don't you return to your seats this morning? Thank you so much for your expression of faith. And let me just remind you that your expression of faith in God is what's going to make the difference in your life. It's not me. It's not anybody else in this church. It's Jesus who's going to touch your life and make the difference in your life today. Praise God. Okay, all right. There are some others, too, that we want to pray for. I know that Larry Howell is not feeling well today. Anybody have loved ones at home today, weren't able to make it today because they're not well? Michelle Marie, did she not make it today? She wasn't feeling well? We'll pray for Michelle Marie and for Larry. Anybody else? Gentry? Okay. Gentry, Larry, Michelle Marie. All right, dear. And our precious sister Chris. Father, we thank you for these precious people. For these that are not able to make it today, Lord, we pray on their behalf as well. I pray for my dear sweet sister Chris here today, Lord. Just pray for your continued strength and wisdom and the blessing upon her life, Father. That she might know the presence of the Lord in a very special and tender way. For these that are not able to be here today, Lord, for Larry and for Michelle Marie, we pray for healing grace. We thank you for touching these dear precious people, God, and making them well and making them strong and whole. We pray for Gentry today, Lord. You know what the cause is of the recurrence of this illness. And we pray, Father, that you would heal it once and for all and make him completely well. We ask it for your glory, that you would be glorified, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And one other prayer I want to pray before we dismiss. And that's for a brother that's been with us for the last several months. And he's getting ready to go back home, and he won't be coming back for a while unless the Lord sends him back this way. Xavier, could you come and let me pray with you, brother? I just want to bless you in the name of the Lord. This Xavier Ramon, and those of you that remember, Javier and Denise, his mom and dad were with us many years ago, and they came to Liberty and were part of our church while they were here, and they're back in Puerto Rico and had ministry back there. And Xavier felt called to come to be at Liberty this semester, but now he believes that the Lord's just calling him back to Puerto Rico. And so we are grateful for the opportunity that we've had to be with our brother and have him in our lives and in our home for the last several months. And we just want to bless and pray over him as he goes back to Puerto Rico and that he finds what God has for him there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our brother, his sensitivity to your spirit and his desire to do your will. Father, I know that you have great plans for his life. In due season, Father, you will unfold those plans before his understanding and he will walk in them. And his life will bring great glory and honor to you. We thank you for this season in his life when he's been here with us. We thank you for the privilege of being able to minister to him. And now, Father, to send him back home in the fullness of your grace to perform whatever purpose you have for him there. I just thank you, Father, for him and for what he's meant to us and the blessing that he's been here. And that we know he will be back in his native Puerto Rico. Watch over him as he travels. And help him to be a blessing to all that he meets there. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, for all of our church today, we pray that each one of us would find that call and find that purpose and find that way in which you have called us to be a blessing. Help us to walk in that anointing. Help us to fulfill our ministry and our purpose. And help us to glorify the name of Jesus. Thank you for this time this morning, Father, when we've been reminded of the mercy of the Lord and the great mercy you have for every one of us because of your great love. Watch over these precious people today, Father. Give them a good afternoon. And Father, I pray especially for our choir now as they come for tonight's presentation, that they will come well and strong and anointed and ready to glorify the Son of God in their musical presentation tonight. We thank you for this day, this opportunity that we have to be a witness for you. And again, Father, I pray you watch over us as we go our separate ways. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's sing together as we're dismissed. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will stay in your presence day by day till the likeness may be seen in me. God bless you. Thanks for being with us this morning. Choir, 4 o'clock this evening, you need to be back. And the rest of you probably ought to be back about 5:30 to get a good seat, all right? Hope to see you tonight.